Hey, it's Chuck Armstrong with Loudwire Nights, and this is Loudwire Nights On Demand. I don't have much else to say other than we got to catch up with Jack Osborne celebrating the life and legacy of his dad. This interview is the July cover story for Loudwire. I've been looking forward to tonight for a while, man. I don't think there's any broad or massive introduction that is necessary, so I'll just say, Jack Osborne, man, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it, Chuck.
Yeah. Well, and listen, I don't want to be a doofus or anything, man. But before we get going, I do want to say I'm sorry that you said goodbye to your dad last year. Just on a personal level, I know that loss is tough, and so I'm sorry, man.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah.
And I remember the swing of emotions last year, for me, and just watching everything, the first half of 2025, all of this incredible celebration and preparation to honor your dad, to honor Black Sabbath with Back to the Beginning. And then of course the back half of the year, and still to this day, still a whole lot of incredible celebrations, but all in the wake of that loss. It's interesting, just that pendulum and how it swings between grief and joy. But
oh yeah, and it was such a quick swing too, right? Yeah. It was like it was such like a so much elation after the gig, and it was like on the highest of highs, and 17 days later, that changed.
Yeah, man. Which what a incredible thing to have just those fresh memories of Back to the Beginning and everything. But yeah, that it's quite the swing, man. But I was very fortunate to be at Back to the Beginning, and it's something that I think about every single day. And leading up to it, we had a lot of the artists on talking about getting ready for it, and then after all, and still today, when we have an artist on, we it's always a really fun, powerful topic of discussion. What runs through your head, man, when you think about Back to the Beginning that day? Now a year later,
it's weird because it's like there's been different phases of it that kind of come through my head. Like a part of me is like, oh man, I wish I would have watched more of the bands. I had all my kids there with me and didn't. My wife. There was so much chaos leading up to the show. We'd all got the stomach flu. We thought we were good, and then the day of the show, two of my kids ended up getting it, so my wife had to stay back at the hotel for most of the day with the kid, and so I was alone with, three kids and their friends, and I was really stressed out. It's kind of a weird thing to kind of look back on, because there's so many mixed emotions around it, kind of like you were saying, it's the pendulum.
Yeah.
Part of it is I always get excited when I meet anyone who's like, oh, I was at the show. You're like, oh, cool. Like, you were there too. Like, it's really cool to kind of have that. Because, yes, there was, 43,000 people there. But it's, out of the, 5 million people that try to buy tickets, it's,
right, yes.
it's a pretty small pool of people.
Yeah.
But I think... For me, the overwhelming feeling is just gratitude for the day. Like, it played out exactly as it was supposed to.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right, man. And, me witnessing it as a fan, it felt like it played out exactly how it was supposed to. So to hear you say that too, man, that's really cool.
Well, and to that point, it like nothing felt forced. Nothing felt contrived. It felt everyone performing, it all felt genuine. And that's what I think really, I think authenticity always rises to the top amongst anything with creativity.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. We've been very fortunate, and we've talked to a lot of the people who were on that stage, from Slayer and Anthrax to Rival Sons and everyone in between. And it doesn't matter who they are, what band they're in, how big, of their time they had on the stage during that day. Every single one, not a few, every single one has said the thing that they can't forget, they can't stop thinking about, is how there was no ego there. Mm. And so when you talk about that authenticity, like that's, backstage, on stage, but also, witnessing it from the crowd, like, yeah, everybody was just there to do what they were there to do.
100%. And, my friend, he made a really good point. He's like, he said to me, he's like, dude, you know it was on point when Tool allowed it to be filmed.
Yeah,
he's like, because yes. He was like, where have you ever seen 4K Tool footage?
Right, I know. Yeah, and in the broad daylight too. You know, because yeah, of the exactly, timing of it.
Right.
Yeah. No, I know that is a great point, man. Yes, that's the illustration. That's how authentic it all was, for sure. So you know, we're going to talk a lot about this, but I want to go back even further from the day. When did you first hear that this idea, this notion of putting together a concert to honor Ozzy and Sabbath? Like, when did you first hear that?
Oh man, it was probably towards the end of 2024, like kind of fall time period. Mom's, you know, she was like, listen, we're going to do this. And I was kind of like, are you sure? Cause you know, dad was supposed to play that, you know, the Coachella rock thing that they did when they had, and then they had to pull out. And I was just like, mom, you know, I was being a bit of a pessimist, admittedly, of like, listen, you don't want to say that this is the thing we're going to do. And then we have to pull out. And I was really leery about it. And my mom was like, nope, we're doing this. I've got this plan. I got this idea. We're going to, you know, she had the whole vision behind it. And I was like, okay, like, you know, and I was like, dad, are you sure you want to do this? And he was just kind of like, yeah, I'm going to certainly try.
That's cool, man. That's I can understand that, you know, of course you want to be supportive and excited, but also, you know, just, you know, it's your mom, it's your dad. Let's just be honest about this.
Yeah, it was exactly that. And I also didn't want to, I could feel my dad's frustration with letting the fans down every time he had to cancel. And I just was like, oh, man, just because it broke his heart. You know, he just was, you know, it would affect him. And so I didn't want to have him feel that way.
Right.
And, you know, we've spoken about it. The show was on again, off, like up until 2 weeks before. It was like, this might not happen. So, you know, so it was this constant back and forth.
Yeah. So I imagine as it took shape, that was just always on your mind.
Yeah. And I must've heard my dad say, "Fuck it, I'm not doing it," a dozen times.
Yeah.
Not doing it. No.
Man. Yeah. Well, so you have that on the side, but then also you're witnessing it growing and taking shape, right? Bands.
Yeah.
Agreeing, and then if, you know, publicly gets announced, and you know, the excitement is just you know, palpable wherever you're at in the world. Was there anything that surprised you where even like now you're like, man, I can't believe we got this band or this artist to be part of it?
I think it was just the overall lineup when I was like, this person's added, and like when we announced it, we started getting phone calls from people being like, well, I want to do it. Like, you know, Guns N' Roses, they were like, wait a second, we're over in, like, we're doing this.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, Guns N' Roses, like, sure. that was really cool to see.
And so like, what was your involvement in all this? Were you?
I was not involved at all.
Okay.
I was totally just kind of like, hey, you know, my mom was, she was like, a train on a track, and she was just going straight. She was like, this is what we'd, you know, and she, you know, reached out to Tom Morello, and, you know, they worked super close together, and, you know, Andy Copping, the promoter in England. It was just like, it was really like pretty, I'm completely removed from it. And I kind of, in a weird way, I'm happy because I had no expectation going into it. I thought, you know, I was just like, all right, it's just, you know, going to be a gig.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Yeah. And yeah, I have to imagine, you know, for your mom, like that's how you pull off this kind of event. You just get on the train track and you plow ahead regardless.
Yeah.
And you know, she,
and you have to,
everyone
and
pulled
you,
it off.
Have, yeah. Yeah. And it was, and the great thing is this kind of, there was like an unofficial kind of standard, like, hey, this is the deal. Like you're either in or you're out. Here's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't crazy what, you know, what we asked of the bands and things like that. It was just kind of like, all right. And everyone was like, cool, we get it. We're in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing, man. So as it, you know, as you're leading up to it, you had mentioned that when, you know, if your dad had to cancel, like you would feel that, you know, you just feel that pain or that frustration. Were you feeling that leading up to here as he said, ah, fuck it, I'm not doing it, or as he got nervous or whatever that was?
Yeah, it was just because there were so many things that had gone on with him medically leading up to it.
Yeah.
You know, he'd taken this fall in December and he cracked vertebrae in his back, and then he had to go in and have this cement essentially injected into his back to fix the broken vertebrae, and then he got sepsis from it, and it was just like all this shit of just like it was just a lot, you know, and that's why it was so, are we doing this, are we not? And then him going into hospital in London 2 weeks before the show and the doctors being like, this shouldn't be a thing right now, like,
yeah,
you guys shouldn't do this. And my dad was like, fuck you, I'm doing it. Because that was always that was always the thing with my dad, you know, you could, and if you didn't want him, if you wanted him to do something, tell him not to do it, and then he would do it.
Yeah,
but if you really wanted him to do it, he'd be like, no, I'm not doing it.
That's funny. Well, yeah, and so a doctor says, don't do it, and he did it.
Yeah.
So the day does, you know, finally get here, and I was in London, and so me and my buddy, we took a bus to Birmingham and had the chance to get to, you know, central Birmingham and really soak it all in. And, you know, the event itself, obviously, we've been talking about it, we'll keep talking about it, but I was really blown away just how it felt like, I don't know, something shifted and Birmingham just embraced it. It wasn't another concert, it wasn't another event, like, this was now a universal thing in the city.
Big time. It became like this. I mean, I never seen so much purple and black in my life.
Right.
Like the whole city was just like, it was like Sabbath and Aussie Day. It was awesome. Because I had not seen any of the installations or anything like that. I'd never, you know, I hadn't gone to the bench before. And so we got there two days before the show. And same thing, like I was completely like, holy shit, like this is a thing.
Yeah.
And so I just went, we just walked around Birmingham with my kids and just saw everything. And yeah, it was pretty like, you know, the funny thing was, it was like seeing it through my kids' eyes was really kind of unique, because for most of my kids' life, it's like my dad's been sick. You know, my older two, you know, they got to see him play a bunch and, you know, so they have those memories, but they were still very young. You know, when he got sick, my eldest was about 6 or 7. And so they didn't really understand how big, you know, their grandfather's reach is and was. And so kind of cruising around the city with them and just, you know, them seeing all the installations and the museum and, you know, the bench and just how the whole city was just embracing it. It was really like, it was cool to see.
Man, yeah, that's amazing, man.
You know, I'd gone to plenty of gigs in cities that were like really ramped. You know, when we did Ozfest, every city we went to, there was always, you know, there was a buzz around it. And so I was kind of used to it. Different because it was Birmingham and it was very, you know, the whole city kind of embraced the day. But yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was, man. And then, so you experience all that, and then you go to the event, right? So obviously there were...
Actually, I went to soundcheck. That was the coolest
part. Right, so they started doing that. Yeah, so you got there 2 days before. They started doing that a day and a half before.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
Oh, soundcheck was... Thing about soundcheck was... it was so just... It was relaxed. No one was like, no pressure. And give me a sec.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's.
You know, the thing with soundcheck was that it was just like, it was like our own little private show.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just cool. It was like mellow. There was, you know, the stadium was empty. It was, you know, a couple guys from different bands, and you know, I was stood there with like Mike Borden and just different, you know, it was just, it was great. It was awesome. Yeah. And like, yeah, it was just a cool experience. My kids were just running around and
yeah,
it was, yeah. Yeah, I'm happy we made it up there for that, for sure. Like,
yeah, and
it sticks out to me in some ways more than the actual show.
Yeah, I have to imagine there was, you know, it could have been easy to be like, we'll go on Saturday. We don't need to go to the sound check. But to be there and to experience that, clearly, you know, just we talked to Billy Corgan just a few days after your dad passed away, and you know, obviously such a huge fan and friend of the band and of your dad, and he talked about that too. And yeah, at, you know, a moment during the sound check and being just one of a few people there to experience it, to witness it. And yeah, he said there was nothing like it.
Oh, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so you're in Birmingham, you experience things through your kids' eyes, which is such a cool thing. Cause you understand all of this. You understand the breadth of your dad, you understand the breadth of Sabbath, and in Birmingham, you know what that means, but, to see it through, the kids' eyes is just, it's amazing. Then you get a witness.
I think they themselves kind of had a hard time like getting it, which is just funny.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a humbling thing. Thanks, kids. Yeah. And then you go to soundcheck and you experience that, man. And then Saturday comes and, you know, you already have enough chaos with kids. I get it. I have a few kids and I can't imagine taking them to a family event with 43,000 other people. But you go, man. And that day, I mean, you know, besides your dad said and Sabbath said, I mean, I know you're running around and you're doing things with kids, obviously saying hi to so many people. But is there a moment that kind of particularly stands out to you, again, besides your dad's set or Sabbath set?
Well, I got a Sabbath tattoo.
Yes.
Got that. Oh man, there was just so many, like one of the first performances I actually walked out to see was, I saw Whit Crane from Ugly Kid Joe. He performed because Whit's like my brother, and watched him. And then I was about to walk off and then I noticed Youngblood walking out. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to watch Dom. Just because I, you know, I had to leave the kids. There was like a lot of back and forth between the viewing platform and then going to check on my kids. And then my kids don't listen to metal. Right. You know, they're just kind of like, oh, whatever. And I just, as I was about to walk, I saw Dom walking on. I was like, okay, I'm going to, you know. And I was just like jaw on the ground. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, it was just such a, you know, it was one of the definite standout performances. And I think for me, my take on why Dom's performance was such a impactful one was because it was so unexpected. I think it was like I think a lot of people in like the heavy metal world had this kind of preconceived notion of,
yep,
Dom and Youngblood. It was like, okay, like, you know, he's got his thing, but he's not, you know, he's not Slayer. Right. He's not fucking Metallica. He's, you know, he's not, you know, please, you know, fill in the blank. And, but he just fucking owned it. And it really powerful to see.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly it. I think, you know, you look at the lineup and you're like, yeah, of course. And you see Youngblood and you're like, huh, interesting. You know, for the metalheads and for people 100%. Who maybe don't totally get it. And then he comes out, you know, in his attire and his dress, you know, formal. And I remember standing there with my buddy. We had made friends, of course, in the pit because everybody's so happy. And like you said, just stunning, like jaws dropped. And like you experience in real time. And that's what I told people after, because obviously it went viral. They released it officially. He won a Grammy for it. But you felt that in real time. That wasn't something that people are like, oh yeah, we should pick up on that. No, that was just an incredible thing. And I'm glad you said Whit too, man.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, fucking love Whit. I mean, Whit's family.
Yeah. You know, Whit, I remember
my big brother growing up.
I remember watching him, and when he was done, he grabbed his backpack and then he walked away, you know?
It was the most Whit Crane thing ever. Because, like, That's his that backpack he's probably had for 20 yeah. years at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good, man. Well, what was it like watching your dad set?
It was, God, so nerve-wracking and so emotional. Like crazy emotional.
Yeah.
Because there was such buildup. There was so much like, is this, you know, is this, isn't it? You know, and it was, and when it happened, there was like a kind of cathartic release of like, okay, like the, you know, the Saturn V rockets left the launch pad. Like,
yeah, we can breathe.
Yeah. Like, okay. Like let's next stop is the moon. I watched his set from out in the pit in the viewing platform. And then I watched Saturn from the side of the stage. And it was just epic. It was just, you know, and I'm there with my sister and my brother. We're all just like a mess. And our kids, you know, my brother's kids and my kids are just looking at us like, the fuck is wrong with you? Why are you guys crying? And we're like, shut up. Watch the show, not us. But it was, it was just great. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. And it actually and not through any fault or any, I don't know. Like I think for me, like I enjoyed the Aussie set more than the Sabbath set in a weird way.
Yeah.
And I you know what? I think because I think the pressure expectation was lower for his own set than Sabbath, because the Sabbath set was like, okay, this is it. And, you know, because at that point we knew that, well, you know, my dad would, the thought that down the road, okay, yeah, he would do, you know, he would maybe do one-offs and do whatever. And just as Ozzy, not with Sabbath again. And so we knew definitively, like, this was the last time the original four would be playing together. And so there was just an immense amount of pressure around that.
Yeah. 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 And with Ozzy's set, man, like, you know, the band that they put together obviously was just perfect. And I think anytime Zach's involved, like, I'm sure that also makes you feel like, oh no, they got this.
100%. You know, Zach just, you know, he knew how to read my dad so well. And, it's always a level of, confidence there that, you know, it's very much needed.
Do you remember the first thing you said to your dad after the show?
I think I just like ran into his dressing room and just screamed, oh, you fucking did it. You did it. He was just like sat there and he was like,
Well, you know, even before the event, people were talking about, man, if we can take Back to the Beginning, you know, make it a recurrent event, that kind of thing, we should. And then, of course, after, fans were like, yeah, we got to do this. Let's do it again in Birmingham. Let's do it in New York. Let's do it here. Let's do it there. You know, a year later, rumors started floating. And of course, they're not rumors anymore, I know, but the conversation about Ozfest returning.
Sure.
Does it feel like the return of Ozfest is like in some way almost an extension of or continuation of what Back to the Beginning created?
The only thing that I got involved with Back to the Beginning was my mom called me and she goes, well, what do we call it? And I said, call it Ozfest. And she's like, I don't want, but she was really smart about it actually, because she was like, well, no, because I want to set it aside from Oz. Like I want it to be its own thing. And I was, no, just like call it the final Ozfest or like Ozfest Homecoming or something.
Yeah.
I always kind of saw it as an Ozfest before the event, but then obviously being at the event, it was a staunchly different experience.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think, you know, with us, you know, kind of wanting to bring Ozfest back, it was, you know, it's something that we have talked about for years and like, we were just like, just wanted to find the right time for it. And we kind of, yes, to answer your question, like we do see this as like a bit of a, you know, there can never be another Back to the Beginning, but you know, we can still have really awesome days, you know, and do you know, some kick-ass festivals that are affordable to fans.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing these days with these festivals. They're just getting so freaking expensive.
Yeah. No, that's right. And big, too, you know, multi-days. And I get it. Like, I get it. But that was something about Back to the Beginning and Ozfest, you know, in the past where, you know, you dedicated your day to that and it's the best day of your life, you know? Yep. And then you do it again next year or whenever it rolled through town again.
Yeah, you don't have to move heaven and earth to go and enjoy an event.
Right. Yeah.
Even not like, you know, I think there's like a fatigue with multi-day festivals. You're just like, okay, day one, day two, day. Now some of them are like 4 days. You're like,
yeah.
I ain't got that in me.
No, man. And, you know, I don't want to create a spreadsheet to know what stage I need to be at and who I'm going to miss or who I might see a few minutes of. But no, that's exciting, man. And we had Zach on the show a few days before Back to the Beginning, and he said, you know, this feels like Ozfest on steroids. And so it was cool to see, man. Jack, you know, I know you spent plenty of time talking about your father over the last year. And so I don't want to dwell on it too much, but, you know, as we reflect on a year of Back to the Beginning, you know, it's a year of losing him too. And the thing for me as a fan, it was such a universal thing. Like the world responded and in such positive, powerful force. You know, photos, videos flooded television, social media, and everything. For you, did that help your grief, or was that tough to see, to kind of just...
You know what? I think it actually, in a weird way, it was affirming. In a weird way, because, like, you know, you love someone so much, and it's very rare, I think, to have so many other people love him so much.
Yeah.
And so to see that kind of outpouring was just like,
yeah.
It was very affirming. And also unexpected. None of the family ever thought it would be like that.
Yeah.
It never even crossed them. You know, no one ever sat around and went, well, you know, when dad dies, it's going to be this big spectacle. It was just, you don't go there with it when it's your own father. You just think like, that day's going to suck. Like that's,
because
it's, you know, yes, he was, you know, Ozzy Osbourne to the entire world, but he was, you know, a father to my sisters and brother and me. And so it's our preparation for this day, which every child I think does, that thought crosses their mind of like, you know, I wonder what that's going to be like when my parent goes, you know, I'm sure, you know, my kids will have thoughts like that. Your kids will, you do with your parents. I don't know if they're still alive or not, but it's just a natural thing. And it was never it just never crossed my mind it would be what it was.
Yeah. I'm sure you saw things that maybe you hadn't seen before or you hadn't seen in a long time too.
Oh, I mean, something just recently came up, some interview from like the mid 70s. I don't know if you saw it. My dad was on some talk show from the 1970s, just talking about the industry and music. And he's on with some guys from Deep Purple. And
oh, I did. Yes.
It's like that. Like, no one has ever seen that. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
And you know, just pictures and video, all that stuff was just awesome to see.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, I don't want to pry or anything. And you know, we had started this conversation just talking about that pendulum of grief and joy, right? Celebration and sorrow, and you live in the middle of that now. As the 1 year comes up, are you guys, imagine you guys are, as a family, you know, getting together to commemorate and honor him. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of gone back and forth. You know, there was a plan to go to Birmingham and do something. And And I kind of, for me, so much of his passing was like this kind of, there was like a very public component to it of just kind of sharing it with, you know, the world, that I kind of, for me personally, I'm just going to kind of keep it pretty just, you know, for me and my family this year, and kind of have that.
Good.
Do something for him, just because, you know, something that often, you know, my mantra has kind of been, you know, what would he want? And I just, you know, I think he'd be like, okay, like, we're good. Like,
yeah,
just, if you guys want to, you know, he hated birthday parties, he's hated celebrations, he fucking hated people crying in front of him. So it's like, I'm just like, keep it small, keep it mellow, keep it like, you know, what he would have wanted.
Yeah. I love that, man. Last question. Do you have a favorite quote or line from your dad? I mean, he is just among the rock and the music and the moments. He's also given us some pretty great lines and quotes.
You know, the first thing that pops to my mind is that, so I produced this documentary about him a few years back called The Nine Lives of Ozzy.
Yeah.
And like in the intro of it, our director had him go, I'm Ozzy fucking Osbourne, the Prince of Darkness, something like that. And then he instantly kind of stops and he just goes, yeah, is that all right? Is that what you wanted? And it was just this funny, like, him just being like so explosive and then kind of reverting back to just being like, all right, is that what you needed? And I just think it's so funny from this, like, you know, how he could, it just shows how he could just like turn on and then just kind of go back to just being him.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Thank you for sharing that. Jack Osbourne, man, thank you so much for hanging with us. Thank you for joining us as we celebrate, you know, 1 year back to the beginning, as we celebrate and honor your dad. We'll keep doing it as long as we have breath in our lungs. And I'll tell you, every chance we get on this radio show, we say three words whenever we play an Ozzy or Sabbath song, and that's simply long live Ozzy. And so we will, we'll do that as long as we're on the radio, man. Jack,
thank you.
Listeners, if you're not already, follow Jack Osbourne on social media. And man, if there's ever a chance to do this again and catch up, you are always welcome here.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one. Bye, Chuck.
That wraps up this episode of Loudwire Nights On Demand. Stay caught up with everything happening in the world of rock and metal on the Loudwire app and at loudwire.com.